Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Wilberry Inn by Kimberly Thomas. Narrated by Emma Fay. Prologue. 6 months ago. Cora turned to the door as it creaked open. She stood facing her husband as he stepped fully into the room. His suit jacket and tie were gone. The first two buttons of his shirt were undone, and the sleeves were rolled up to his forearms. His chestnut-colored hair was messy, as if he had been running his fingers through it. He looked at her with a mixture of surprise and panic. Evidently, he had spent the last hour downstairs hoping she would already be asleep by the time he came up. The two stood facing each other, neither one saying a word. Joel sighed, his shoulders sagging in defeat.
"Cor, who is she?"
Cora demanded before he could finish. Joel's eyes widened in surprise, lips parted. Recovering from the initial shock, he asked,
"What are you talking about?"
Joel's feeble attempt to appear ignorant only served to elevate her anger.
"Don't play this game with me, Joel," she seethed.
Squaring her shoulders and narrowing her eyes into tiny slits, she pushed.
"Who are you having an affair with?" "Cora,"
he breathed out exhaustedly, running his fingers through his already disheveled hair.
"Cora, I'm not having an affair. I love you."
His tone was even, eyes pleading. At his declaration, Cora scoffed in disbelief.
"You love me?"
Her chest heaved as she tried to control the angry tears that wanted to fall.
"You love me?"
She echoed it again slowly, trying to make the words make sense to her as she looked past him.
"How can you use those words so loosely, Joel?"
she asked, shaking her head back and forth. This time, the tears fell unhindered. Fixing her teary eyes on him, she continued,
"You barely touch me anymore. You don't even kiss me good morning like you used to, or make an effort for us to have breakfast together in the mornings."
Joel gulped and looked down guiltily as she listed the things he had stopped doing.
"Tonight was my night. You knew how special that journalism award was to me,"
she continued as her anger overshadowed the pain she was feeling.
"I'm so sorry, honey. I know I messed up. You were on your phone the entire ceremony,"
she screeched, throwing her hands up in frustration.
"You're always on your phone. At god-awful hours of the night when you should be asleep, you're on that wretched device."
After a short pause, she looked him in the eye.
"I stood on that stage, waiting for you to look at me, to acknowledge my accomplishment,"
she sobbed.
"Then we come home, and you stay downstairs without even trying to make an effort to see why I was so upset."
"Cora," he pleaded, reaching his hand out to her.
"Don't. Don't touch me,"
she warned.
She didn't need his touch. She didn't want his sudden attempt at affection. Not now. Not when she needed the truth from him.
His hand immediately fell to his side.
"I have wanted you to touch me the way you used to for the past 6 months. To kiss me like I'm the only woman who matters to you. Instead, what did I get? A husband who comes home late, yet stays up watching television, waiting for me to fall asleep so he can come to bed."
Cora shook her head, then continued,
"I can only assume that you're cheating on me."
She spoke with resignation as she raised her red eyes to stare into those of her husband's, daring him to lie to her one more time.
"Who is she?" "I swear, Cora, I am not cheating on you. There is no one else,"
Joel proclaimed, his moss-green eyes willing her to believe him.
"I love you. I promise. I am not cheating."
When she didn't reply, he fell to his knees and earnestly grabbed her hands between his own, disregarding her earlier warning.
"I swear, Cora, you are the love of my life. There is no one else," he pleaded.
Cora looked down at her husband, at the wetness gathered at the corners of his eyes. He still had her heart. Still, something held her back from accepting his words. Taking her hands from his grasp, she turned away from him.
Cora,
she heard him say as he shuffled to his feet.
I just need some time to think.
She threw over her shoulder as she headed for the closet adjacent to the bedroom door. Pulling out her running gear and shoes, she quickly stepped out of her robe and donned her outfit. She turned to see Joel watching her helplessly, shoulders slouched.
I'm going for a run, she explained. I just need some time to think, and I can't do it here. Maybe when I get back, we can talk about what is really going on then.
Joel eagerly nodded.
Sure, okay,
he agreed, giving her a small smile. He looked as if he wanted to say more, but held himself back. Without another word, she walked past him, made her way downstairs, and slipped through the front door. After Cora warmed up, she took off down the road in a sprint, feeling the cool air wash over her. She maintained a steady rhythm as her body moved farther away from her home. Her heart pounded within her chest, keeping count with her feet hitting the pavement as the cool night air caressed her face and dried the tiny beads of sweat that formed on her brows from how hard she was running. Running was one of her favorite pastimes. The thrilling experience kept her athletic body in shape and youthful. She loved anything that had to do with the outdoors and challenged her physically. Tonight, she ran for another reason. Her marriage was on the rocks, and she didn't know how to fix it. She loved being a problem solver, but this was getting the best of her. One thing she was relieved about was that Joel wasn't cheating on her. He said there was no one else. He seemed so sincere. She wanted to believe him, but she couldn't knock the foreboding feeling deep within her gut. But she wanted her marriage. She still loved him, and she couldn't fathom 23 years of spending her life as Joel's wife ending like this. Slowing her pace until she came to a halt, she bent over with her palms on her knees, panting to catch her breath. Her mind continued to play over all that happened before she left the house. No solution came to mind. But as she straightened herself, she concluded that she would fight for her marriage. Just as she turned in the direction of her house, her cell phone rang.
Hello? Hi, Cora. It's Samantha. Are you home?
The apprehension in her best friend's voice put Cora on high alert.
I'm not. What's wrong, Sam? You sound upset. Are you by the house? I'm on my way back now.
She rushed out, speed walking down the sidewalk.
No, I'm fine. It's just, I'm not sure how to say this.
Cora's pace slowed as she waited for Samantha to continue.
Sam, what is it? Tell me, please.
Cora was full on panicking.
I'm so sorry to break it to you like this, Cora, but you need to know before the scandal reaches your doorstep. Her heart clenched with anxiety.
She stopped walking and rested her free hand against one of the many trees lining the sidewalk.
You know how you had a feeling Joel was having an affair?
Sam asked.
Yes, I confronted him tonight, and he swore he wasn't,
she hurried to say.
Cora.
Whenever Samantha's voice took on a note of sympathy, she always knew it would be something that would affect her deeply.
I knew it would be hard to tell you this, but I underestimated how hard it would be.
Samantha sighed. Cora waited, pressing more of her weight onto the tree for whatever support she would need after Sam's revelation.
Joel is being investigated by the Ophthalmology Disciplinary Tribunal for misconduct in the workplace. Chances are he could lose his license.
What are you talking about?
What kind of misconduct, Sam?
Cora asked, needing her to say the words that could mean the end of her marriage, or the end of any plans to work through their problems.
He is being investigated for using company resources to pursue a licentious relationship with one of his patients.
Cora felt her heart finally shatter as she slid to the ground, still holding the phone tightly to her ear.
She couldn't believe Joel had looked her in the eye and lied so easily. She wished the ground would open at that moment and suck her into its dark recesses. Do you have a name? She choked out. I'm sorry, Cora. I wish I could give you a name, but I can't in my position as chair of the committee. As your friend, what I can say is, it's someone you trusted with the care of your home and your family. Cora leaned against the tree as her head spun with the information. She felt dizzy and lightheaded. Are you still there? Yes. Yes, I'm here. I don't know.
Cora's voice came out barely above a whisper.
Where are you? Let me get you. Maybe it's better not to go back home tonight, Samantha offered. No, it's fine. I need to get this over with. Thanks, Sam. I know you didn't have to tell me, but I'm grateful.
She heard her friend's heavy sigh through her phone.
Cora, you're my best friend. There is no way I would let you get blindsided by this news, chair or not.
Cora was grateful for her friend. She was one of the few people who she could count on to be there for her, and she was appreciative of their friendship.
Thanks, Sam. I gotta go. Call me, Sam replied before the call ended.
I will, she promised. After about 10 minutes of sitting with her back braced up against the tree, Cora found the strength to get up and start back home. She wasn't sure what she would say to Joel when she finally faced him. But Cora knew this was it for her. She was done. She felt completely numb.
Hey, you're back. How was your run?
Joel asked as soon as she came through the front door.
Cora?
Cora fixed her eyes on him. She wasn't sure what he saw in them, but his sharp intake of breath and subtle step back meant he knew something was about to happen. You've been having an affair with Cindy? The calmness of her voice surprised her as much as the question shook her husband.
Cora?
His voice quivered. His eyes reflected his guilt.
Seriously? Cora, please let me explain.
Cora's palm connected hard with Joel's cheek, mid-sentence. The harsh slap of her hand against his skin echoed in the now silent room. Her palm stung from the blow, but she didn't care. She wanted him to shut up.
Right under my nose. I can't believe this.
She wanted to hit him again for making such a fool out of her, to find the heaviest object in the room to bludgeon him with. Instead, she began pacing back and forth frantically to suppress the impulse. Finally, she stopped and let out a humorless laugh.
You and our housekeeper. It's quite funny, you know.
Cora shook her head.
You were so adamant that we not hire her. And in the end, you do this. I've got to tell you, Joel, you had everyone fooled, especially me. I thought you two didn't quite click. I guess that was just a show for me, right? To throw me off?
Cora put her hands together, applauding.
Congratulations!
Cora held up a hand, stopping him from continuing.
How long?
She didn't think Joel's eyes could get any wider than they already were, yet it seemed they grew at her question.
One year.
Joel hung his head in defeat.
Well, I was way off. I predicted 6 months or 7 tops. But this has been going on for a whole year.
She spat incredulously.
Cora, I'm sorry. Not as sorry as you're going to be.
She cut him off.
We had a family with 23 years of marriage. We built an entire life together, and you threw that all away so easily. What about our girls? What am I supposed to tell them?
I'm sorry, Cora. I didn't mean for this to happen. I love you. I want us. I will do better, I promise. I won't do it again. Please.
You're right. You won't do it again. Because there won't be a next time. I want you out of this house.
Cora, please, I don't care where you go. Just don't be here when I get back.
With that, Cora turned around and walked right back through the front door. leaving her husband standing there in disbelief. Chapter 1
Mr. Avalon has agreed to let you keep the family home and all the items contained there.
Cora nodded in understanding as her lawyer went through the terms of the divorce document. It had been 6 months since she kicked her lying, cheating husband out of the home they had shared for over 17 years of their 23-year marriage. She remembered when they decided to move from their old apartment so they could have more space and their growing girls could have their own rooms. Joel's practice was picking up, and she was an up-and-coming journalist, already known for her factual pieces and ability to get interviews with high-profile celebrities who would normally shun the media. They were both raking in enough cash for them to purchase their own home. A home she thought they would live in until they were old. She had imagined they would welcome their girls with their own families here for visits. She had imagined the feet of their many grandchildren running up and down the stairs while she and Joel tried their best to chase them. She had not envisioned this at all. Soon the divorce would be complete, and she would start picking up the remaining pieces of her life to start over alone. "What about the beach house in Panama City?" she asked. Her lawyer sifted through the pages of the settlement agreement, seeking information about the property.
"Ah, here it is. It says he is seeking full ownership of the property, but is willing to negotiate for part ownership."
Her lawyer looked expectantly over his glasses as he waited for her reply. "He can have it." She wanted everything split down the middle, or as close as they could get. Anything else just wouldn't do. She didn't want to own anything with him. She hadn't even spoken to him in the past 4 months. Even when he had reached out to her, trying to explain or to apologize, she had turned a deaf ear to him. He'd been in a relationship with their housekeeper for an entire year. There's no going back after that. Even the girls had cut him out of their lives when they learned of the betrayal. She didn't want them to end their relationship with their father. He had been an exceptional father. She couldn't fault him on that. But they were hurting, like she was. Cora could still remember the calls she'd gotten from her girls a week after finding out about the affair. He had called and told them. She had been sitting in the den, reminiscing about all the beautiful memories they'd made as a family in this house, and how they used to crowd onto the couch that was only meant to sit three comfortably. At the same time, they ate their popcorn and watched the latest action shows and Hallmark movies. There were two other armchairs and an added love seat in the room that no one ever made a move to sit on when they had family time. They loved being close to each other on this couch with the peeling leather. This piece of furniture by itself held so many memories for her. Every year they used to take their gifts from under the Christmas tree, pile them on the coffee table while they all sat on the couch, and take turns opening them. They had custom-made pajamas, elf ones for the girls, while she and Joel would be dressed in the Mr. and Mrs. Claus ones. Right after opening their gifts, they would snuggle on said couch, drinking hot cocoa and watching all of the Home Alone specials. Tears streamed down her cheeks as she looked through the photo albums. She looked at how happy they had been. So in love that it manifested on the other side of the lens, captured for the world to see. Cora stared at the photos of Joel at the births of their girls. The love and pride she saw there each time he held their girls immediately after their birth. The pictures of him kissing her temple with so much tenderness as she lay on the bed, looking drained, pulled at her heart. The love was so palpable. That wasn't something you could fake. But gradually, that love dwindled. And all that was left were the memories of what was, and the fresh ones of a deception that cut so deep. While looking through this album and occasionally sipping on the wine she had poured herself, her phone rang. "Hello? Mom? Aaron's wobbly voice pouring through the speaker of her phone caused Cora's heart to constrict with grief for her suffering. How could Dad do this, Mom? Her daughter cried. "I don't know, sweetie," she replied truthfully. She still hadn't been able to figure out why Joel felt the need to step outside of their marriage. Not that she wanted to hear his reasons now.
I want you to know it'll be okay, sweetie. I don't want you to worry about this. How can you say that, Mom? Dad cheated on you. He deliberately hurt you, broke your trust and our family.
Erin spoke through her tears. Cora's tears started to fall as well, listening to her daughter's brokenness.
What could she say to that? She knew it wouldn't all be okay, but she needed to be strong for them, for her girls. How could he do something so despicable, and for so long?
Cora could sense the shift in her daughter's emotions. She was angry now. Understandably, she had gone through a range of emotions since finding out the news. Emotions she never thought she would recover from.
Erin, I know you're hurting, but he's your father, and no matter what happens between us, you need to know he loves you.
Cora tried to appease her daughter.
Well, that's his problem, she seethed. I'm never speaking to him ever again.
Erin.
No, Mom, I mean it. I'm never speaking to Dad again. He hurt you so much, and I can't forgive him for that. Even worse, it was with Cindy, of all people,
Erin exclaimed. Cora sighed in defeat. She knew Erin was headstrong, so it made no sense to argue with her or try to get her to do what she didn't want to do. She reminded Cora so much of herself. She knew in time Erin would be able to forgive her father, and though she knew the relationship wouldn't go back to what it was best not to interfere, but give her time to process it all.
My sweet, sweet Erin, what would I do without you?
Cora asked hoarsely.
I love you and your sister so much. I wish I could shield you both from it all, but I'm happy that you have each other. Don't ever let anything break that bond. You're stronger together,
she implored her firstborn. As she spoke, her mind flashed to her own siblings, and she felt a pang of regret.
I won't, Mom. I promise. I love you.
Cora smiled, reassured that her girls would be okay.
So, how is that handsome son-in-law of mine?
Cora asked, wanting to shift the conversation to something much more promising.
Brian is fine, Mom. I told you to stop calling him that.
Erin chided.
Erin, you've been with him for 5 years now. In some countries, that is considered a lifelong commitment.
Well, this is America, and we're still young. Anything is possible. The ambiguity of the statement concerned Cora.
Is everything okay with you guys?
Yeah, Mom, we're fine. I don't know if we're meant to last, that's all. She answered truthfully. Cora wondered if the events of her father's infidelity played a role in Erin's perspective on her relationship. Or maybe her daughter had been thinking about this for some time now. At any rate, she only wanted what was best for her child.
Erin, if you're not sure, that's fine. Take your time. You're still young. If it's meant to last with Brian, it will. But whatever decision you make, you know you'll always have my support, sweetie.
Thanks, Mom, Erin replied gratefully.
I'm working on a project for work and preparing for my finals, but as soon as I have these cleared, I'll take some time off and come home.
Oh, sweetie, you don't have to do that. I'm fine, I promise.
No, Mom, I'm coming home. I want to, and it's fine. Besides, I miss you.
Oh, sweetie, I miss you so much, too. I'll see you then. I love you.
Love you too, Mom. See you soon.
Shortly after her call with Erin, Julia called. After ranting on about how selfish her father was, her final resolve, like her sister, was that she would never forgive him.
As far as I'm concerned, he's dead to me, Julia had said.
Like Erin, Cora knew Julia also needed time to process all that had happened before she would be ready to start mending her relationship with her father. Sitting there in the lawyer's office, she couldn't believe 6 months had already passed, and with the divorce being finalized, it was like opening up a wound that had already started to heal as she sat across from him. She was eager for the divorce to be completed and this chapter of her life to be done with.
He asks that the RV remain with him as it is his current home address.
Another request she didn't have a problem complying with.
As much as she hated Joel for what he had done to her, she understood the plight he was in. He had lost his license, his practice, and all the perks of his position. The divorce wasn't cheap, either. She would let him have it. It had been his, anyway, as was the beach house. They had inherited property, passed down to him upon his father's death, along with a considerable sum of cash, which had allowed them to be more comfortable than they could have ever dreamed. They had been able to pay off the mortgage on their home, and both of their girls had gone on to college without having to take out student loans. The properties, therefore, were his, and she wasn't going to be petty.
In the matter of alimony, how do you wish to proceed?
She had thought about this carefully, and only one solution made the most sense to her. I would like a single lump sum payment, she expressed. Pausing from going through the document before him, Mr. Pike looked up at her.
Mrs. Avalon, he started with apprehension. Are you sure that is a wise idea?
I am, she assured him. She meant it when she said she wanted nothing to connect her and Joel anymore.
Okay, I will add those terms.
Just as Mr. Pike finished, her phone rang. Looking down at the caller ID, she recognized it was her mother. Hello? Mom?
Cora.
Her mother's voice was barely above a whisper. This put Cora on edge.
It's your dad,
her mother sobbed. Her heart fell to the floor of her stomach.
Mom, what's wrong with Dad?
Cora managed to get out.
He...
Her mother could barely contain herself.
Mom, please, what happened?
Cora asked, as her mother cried uncontrollably into the phone. After a few tries at speaking up, her mother finally said the words Cora had not expected to hear. Not so soon.
Cora, your dad, he was in a car accident, and well, they rushed him to the hospital, but Cora, he didn't make it. My Samuel, he's gone.
At this, her mother broke down again. Cora sat in the chair, unmoving, unable to process the news that her father was dead. Cora noticed Mr. Pike looking at her, his face marred with worry. He must have recognized something was not right the moment her hand gripped her phone, and all the color drained from her face as she sat there speechless, trying to process her mother's words.
Mrs. Avalon? Mrs. Avalon, are you all right?
Cora stared in a daze at the man before her, unable to process the words coming out of his mouth.
Are you all right?
He asked again. Cora looked back at the phone in her hands, not knowing when the call had ended.
Mrs. Avalon,
she heard Mr. Pike say again, his concern for her increasing.
I...
Looking at her phone again, and then back at her lawyer, she spoke.
I have to go.
Without another word, she stood, grabbed her bag, and headed for the door. Chapter 2 Cora felt the emptiness hit her like a freight train the moment she walked through the front door of her house. The weight of the news pressed down on her so much that she felt as if she could hardly breathe. Without warning, her legs gave out, causing her to crumple to the floor. Uncontrollable sobs racked her body as she cried for the loss of the man who was her first true love, her father. She hadn't seen him in person for the past 15 years, and had not spoken more than a few words to him for longer than that. The relationship had soured too much from words spoken in anger, and prolonged stubbornness on both their parts. Now she didn't have a chance to tell him how much she regretted everything.
Daddy,
Cora whimpered. She drew her knees to her chest as she brought her hands around to cage them in, trying to lessen the tremors she was feeling. She rested her head on her knees, waiting out the slight panic attack.
Why was everything in her life being taken away so suddenly? First, Joel cheated. Now her father was dead. She doubted she could take on any more life-shattering news. It would destroy her.
When she gathered her energy, she slowly got back on her feet and made her way upstairs.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?